Thanks to Nun Media Digital, of course. We will be chatting now with Brendan Joyce, of course, who's our basketball expert on SEN and former NBL coach and our commentator and extraordinary, knows all things in regards to basketball. And he joins us on afternoons for a double dose of NBL action. Brendan, appreciate your time for Nun Media.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Good to hear from you.
Melbourne United are back in town. They were 1-4, they're now 5-4, and they've got the vibe. They've got some mojo back in their lineup.
Yeah, four in a row, and looking to make it five in a row in the showdown, and solidify a spot in the top four, really, with a win against the South East Melbourne Phoenix coming up. But look, they were great, and they have been great the last few games. I think Trimble's really starting to feel comfortable. Sean Long's probably been comfortable for a while. They've been addressing some defensive issues. We spoke about it a few weeks ago, and they've certainly improved in that area. Hence, the result is four wins in a row, and they're right back in this thing, and I think definitely a championship contender.
Yeah, Prather coming in makes a heck of a difference, doesn't he? Albeit he's still got a bit of work to do to get back to the peak of his powers. But when you've got a player of his ilk at both ends of the court, he demands the ball, he runs the court well, he's athletic, and he knows how to win coming from a winning culture in his previous life in the NBL. He is a massive bonus and a massive tick for United.
Yeah, and he's only going to get better. You know, he's only played around about 14, 15 minutes. Yeah, you know, the boys probably, they got the job done without him, obviously, with a couple of wins, but just psychologically, it's a huge lift. And the opposition team looks down the other end and they see a triple championship player warming up and then going to the bench. You know, it's psychologically got to have a negative effect on the opponent, that's for sure, when you see a guy like that of that calibre coming off the bench, and he's only going to get better with the more minutes he plays. So, you know, they've struggled without him, and it really exposed probably a lack of depth without him. But that extra player now with Pledger, they've got a good 8-9 players, really, and that's enough normally. But I still think the secret, the first success, that they've always been able to go 10 deep. And you're seeing that with the Sydney Kings, because if there's injuries, foul trouble, it's just so beneficial, you know, to have the ability to be able to trust players to get the job done. Some teams just opt for a 9th, 10th player, fill in young guy, but never play them. And I think that comes back to bite them, especially, you know, in those games where there's foul trouble or injuries during the season, and it certainly bites them during the playoffs.
I was interested to hear Dean Vickerman on Waitley yesterday talking about, you know, there was genuine concerns at 1-4 and they weren't defending well, and they're still working on their defence and the way they go about that. He was concerned where they're at. He was concerned about his coaching and the response that the playing group were going to make in regards to United. But, of course, he was a much happier camper after that those four games. So it's an interesting admission as coach. You've coached for a long time in the league. When you're 1-4 and you feel like you're chasing your tail and you're running at less than 500%, at 500, what's your mindset as a coach? Are you looking at things that don't really exist?
Well, yeah, it depends on your personnel. Mm. I mean, realistically, they still had personnel. They had enough talent to win some of those games they've lost. And I think the big issue for them, realistically, was fitting in, you know, Trimble and Sean Long with their existing players, and with the fact that Casey Prather got injured. So there were, not that they're excuses, but their reason. Now, Casey Prather had played, they probably, instead of 1-4, they probably could have been 3-2, and then they probably wouldn't be as concerned. But, you know, when they were looking at who they were going to play next, then I think Corey predicted they'd lose the next three and be 1-7, which they won the next three. So as a coach, you're looking you're looking inwardly. You're always looking inwardly to figure out where you need to improve. But certainly when you have a losing streak, there's no question things are evaluated even harder because as the pressure builds. But in saying that, they still had the talent. Like, if you coach a team, I guess, with less talent, and there's injuries, it's obviously a tougher thing to turn around, but they had the talent. So it wasn't just a talent situation where Prather was out. They still had enough. They weren't playing well defensively. And he was probably starting to wonder whether or not Sean Long and Melo Trimble could actually play defense, I think. Mm. You know, he would admit that, but it was just, you know, we talked about it, how bad they were. Like, just in, you know, and the coaches, out there. They're going to evaluate. They're going to scout. They're going to put them in schemes. And it's not just those two. If you look at a play, you're always looking at the defensive end as well as the offensive end. If they're not good, you're going to put that player in a position to expose their weaknesses. And that's what was happening. So they needed to get better in a hurry. And that's why the pressure started to build. But they knew what they had to work on, but they weren't starting to get the fruits of what they were working on. And then he was probably wondering whether or not they could actually do it. So they've shown they could do it, but I've got no doubt he would admit that they're still not getting it done for a full 40 minutes. There's still breakdowns. There's still mental and physical breakdowns there, but not as many. So, but Casey Prather will come in and protect that now because he is a two-way player. They've got that extra player that if someone's not getting the job done, whether it be Chris, whether it be Mitch, you know, whoever it is, but the breakdowns were occurring, most of them were occurring through the new players, Sean Long and Trimble. So he probably was concerned because he hadn't had time with them, whether or not, you know, building that trust. Players want trust, coaches want trust as well, but you build that trust through familiarity, cohesion, and the longer you're together, obviously the trust builds because you really know that players do have the ability and they can turn around. But he's only been coaching these blokes, you know, for a couple of months.
Brendan Joyce, our NBL expert, thanks to Nun Media. Digital Media is online. We're talking all things NBL. So they go head-to-head with Phoenix for the third time already this season, and it's one win apiece, and they've both been at the away venue. So I'm sure United will be very keen to get the win over the Phoenix. Gee, Phoenix have been impressive for a new franchise.
They really have. And, you know, what they've done, they've got the job done in some of the games where they probably weren't expected to win. They've got the job done. Now, all they can do is win. Everyone's talking about, well, the fact that they haven't gone away, and that's true. And I think that's definitely in the wings, waiting for them to see how they go, because it's a whole different ball game, as you know, playing away than what it is at home, especially when you go to a place like Perth where you are. Mm. Some players, you know, go to water in those environments. I mean existing players too. They go to water on the road, and they grow a leg at home. Now, it's really, and that gets back to the personality. So, you know, we saw, realistically, the Phoenix went to water against the Wildcats in that game over there. The Wildcats just swept the floor with them. So, I think they had a little bit of a game plan which allowed probably Melbourne United to jump on and obviously get the win. So, Wildcats exposed some weaknesses with the Phoenix, but at the same time, you know, you tend to get, no matter what people say, you tend to get a little bit of a home support. You know, the referees, I believe, do go with the aggressor. They go with the crowd at the moment. And so it's a much better playing at home than what it is away. But I think the Phoenix test is coming. Now playing away against Melbourne really isn't playing away because they're not travelling. I'm talking about going into gyms where no one's going to be supporting them. So that challenge is coming. But as you say, that they've done a great job to be 5-2. And if they do knock off the Melbourne United team here again, then everyone, you could just about say, hey, they're a big chance of making the top four, but not everyone's convinced because of the fact that they've been at home so long. And Melbourne United with Casey Prather back now, you would expect them to get the job done at home, and you know, they wouldn't have been happy about dropping that first one. I've got no doubt there'll be some motivation there to make sure they don't drop it to their little brother on Saturday night, which I'll be there too. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, going to be a beauty, absolute beauty. It's going to be a lot of aggression on that court, no doubt about it. Looking forward to seeing Mitch Creek and Chris Golding. There's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of angst. I love the angst between them. There's a lot of, they've got a bit of strut, those blokes, and I like it when they're up and about. Speaking of strut, Sydney are up and about. They're 8-1. They're the best team in it. There's no doubt about it. Trevor Gleeson's had a crack at the system. I think Joey Wright's had a crack at the system by saying, I think someone said to Joey Wright, how can you be as good as Sydney? And he said, just give us $4 million.
You know what, Doss, I coach the Illawarra Hawks, and you are well aware, everybody's well aware, that we didn't have a very big budget back at that time. Now, their budget's certainly well above what it was in the, you know, during that time I coached. Now, Gary Wright coached the Brisbane Bullets, and had, you go back and look at that team that he had an advantage. He probably had the best team for years, you know, with Bradkey, CJ Bruton, you know, a couple of New Zealand national players. I'm just trying to think. Ebi Arra, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't complaining about his budget. And at that point in time, we did have a salary cap, a so-called salary cap. And, you know, a salary cap in basketball really wasn't policed or restricted the way it was in the AFL, and that's been a problem. So I actually don't mind the system now, Goss, because it's transparent. You know, players are getting paid more, and if you did get over the cap, there's a luxury tax. And Trevor Gleeson too, come on, man. You know, the Wildcats for years have been loaded, and they still are. So, you know, it's a matter of, you know, whether you can spend more. That's the way the rules are right now. I actually don't mind it because teams were going under the, you know, I hate to use the word, but there's no doubt bending the salary cap or cheating the salary cap back in the day. You only have to look at who was on the court and look at, you know, one end of the court, the other. Now, you can say they're saying that Sydney's got better players. Well, the rules are that you can buy more players, so it's a bit like the soccer now. So I think it's more transparent. The only danger of that is, obviously, that, you know, our team's going to put themselves in a position where they're spending too much and then an owner gets tired of losing money. That's what they've got to be careful of. But at the end of the day, what's happening with Sydney's been going on for 30 years anyway.
Nice little return serve from Brendan Joyce.
They're kidding themselves. Trevor Gleeson and Joey, you know, they've been a part of the teams that have been that have been the big money teams over the years, including Adelaide as well. So different teams have their clubs have their peaks and troughs where they don't have as much money for whatever reason. And Perth had a little stint where, you know, they didn't have spend as much as what they were used to. And I think it was when Scott Fisher was coaching. Mm-hmm. If you go back, there's no doubt when Scott was playing, he probably didn't have the same sort of ability to recruit. But, you know, what's fantastic about the Wildcats at that point in time made no difference. They had the fans, they had the support, they got the city behind them. What is it? They've been top in the finals now for 30 years, which is unbelievable.
Yep.
But, you know, the Kings, these guys now, the Kings have got a great team, they've got a good coaching staff. These guys now got to figure out a way to beat the Kings. Everyone's beatable. The Kings are beatable, mate. It's just, I don't know where that come from. it's interesting.
I think it was Didi Lazada. I think it was that was the trigger point where he's got in as a next gen player or a next star player, and I think that's where that's come from Gleeson saying, well, hang on, you know, the rules were changed prior to the season starting, and is he genuinely, you know, he's already on the NBA draft, so I think that's where that's come from.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a question for the NBL to answer. But in regard to, it's not just Didi, it's probably Didi's best game. He hadn't played that well, realistically. Yeah. He hadn't played very well up until that game and hadn't had a big impact. He was injured. But overall, they've got a really, really good squad. And, you know, right now, the standouts for me are the Wildcats. You know, they've dropped one, but it was in Sydney. The Wildcats, to me, is still an awesome team. You know, you've got the Kings challenging the Melbourne United, and then I think it's going to be up to see how the rest of the guys go, who's going to fill that fourth spot.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk NBA with you, and I'm going to give you two names during the break so you can do your homework that I cannot believe, and I'm sort of on the edge of NBL. I love it and I follow it and I think I know enough about it. But two blokes who made their NBA debut in the last couple of days or this season, Brian Bowen and Devin Hall, who for me, as an outsider looking in, didn't exactly set the world on fire when they were out here playing in the NBL. We'll find out your opinion in a moment. We've got Brendan Joyce here, of course. We're talking NBL action. We're going to talk about and twist it towards the NBA next for Nun Media, digital media. He's the expert. I'm just pushing the buttons. Well, with a bit of help from Mandy and Parko and the team. This is Afternoon. Tim Gossage for Jack Hevron
on SEN.
Tim Gossage in the chair on this Thursday afternoon. We're talking basketball with our man Brendan Joyce, our expert, former coach, of course, an NBL live commentary team member, SEN, thanks to Nun Media, digital media, of course. Now, we've got some texts for you, for Joycey. Now, I'm going to run them off for you first. So these are all questions without notice. Ask him about the Rockets, says Acker. Are they any good, the Rockets?
In the NBA? Absolutely. Yeah. Anyone with James Harden has a big chance. And, you know, they're probably missing a big guy, but they're going to be up there. Mike D'Antoni knows how to get the best out of his players offensively. So they're going to be highly competitive. They're still pretty good.
Also from John on the text, he wants to know, who is the worst team in the NBA? Who's the team that are the laughing stock in either division?
The Golden State Warriors at the moment.
They've put the cue back in the rack. They have to put the cue back in the rack, don't they, with their personnel. Well, they've just got to prepare for next year.
Well, have a think about this right now. They've got all those stars to come back next year, mm-hmm. and they could get the number one draft pick. So you know, they definitely put the cue in the rack, but I wouldn't say they're laughing stock, but, you know, I mean, no one expected them today to be on the bottom of the ladder. The New York Knicks, they just can't get it right for me. For such a long time now, they've been down the bottom. So for me, it's the Knicks. They're the laughing stock in the league. You know, such a big city. They just don't get it right with their recruiting, their coaching. And not to say that the coach they've got isn't any good. It's more about the recruiting and the management. They just, you know, just can't get it right.
All right, you've got a couple of minutes to get through all these questions for you. Brian Bowen and Devin Hall. Devin Hall at Cairns, Bowen was at Sydney, of course. Are you surprised they're playing NBA already, or did you always think they had what it took?
Well, when you look at those guys, what the NBA... Let's just look at the body types, you know. Bowen's definitely got an NBA body type. He's long, he's quick, he's athletic. He was... very young and inexperienced, as a lot of the kids are, and that's the question mark you have over them. How are they going to perform playing pro ball against men? Now, he competed, but his opportunities were probably limited last year because of the way they played. If you threw him in this year's team, he'd probably look a lot better. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely got the body type. I had a question mark over his shot, but it's just an expectation. Like you guys, you probably expect to see these guys dominate in some way, you know, or really compete at a high level to the point where they're contributing to their teams. Now, neither of them actually, I felt, helped their team in respect to going to the next step. If you know, I guess Bowen probably performed a little bit better. But I agree with you. I'm surprised that probably both of them, in particular Devin Hall, because I thought he was terrible in the NBL last year. Mm. And I thought, you know, I'm just speaking honestly, I thought he cost Cairns a lot of games, and Mike Kelly persevered with him and left him on the court when he wasn't playing well. Now, he was supposed to have come out as a shooter, but there were so many games he was open and he did knock down shots, and that cost him games. And then his inexperience on the defensive end, he wasn't great there. Towards the end of the year, he played better. I'm probably more surprised with him because of the fact that he got to play so many minutes, chunks, you know, big parts of the game, and Cairns finished on the bottom, down the bottom, and put the coach under a lot of pressure. So he's the one, and I know everyone loves shooters, but he wasn't making shots last year. So that's probably more surprised, where I saw more of an upside with Bowen. But the game's different. You know, sometimes, you know, Devin Hall is a shooter. He's only averaging 2 points a game at this point in time. But if they believe you're a great shooter from the NBA range, I'll stick you out there with creators. And you know, and those types of guys are there to get you open. So your role specifically is just to catch and shoot the ball in some games or just rebound. Now, Bowen is more of a slasher to the rim. And, you know, these days the NBA coaches do it, or the development guys do a good job building the shot. So his upside is far greater. But out of the two that last year, Bowen was better, but even Bowen didn't have a big impact on the league. So it just shows you how good RJ Hampton are right now, 18-year-old, and LaMelo Ball, because they are actually having an impact. You talked about DD. Now, that was the best game he played before then. I was wondering about him as well, you know, but didn't he let it fly against the Wildcats? So you see that there. But the other two boys, they had the whole season, and they were just... I guess, in some ways, didn't really have a major impact on helping their team. So, you know, what is the purpose of that? What is the purpose of those guys? Whereas LaMelo and RJ Hampton are helping him. But then the next question, if you put your coach's hat on, and I spoke to Matty Flynn about this preseason, it's a concern that you go and play a young guy, you develop him, and then they're gone. What impact does it have on your team for the following year? And I think that's why some of the teams are staying away from, you know, recruiting these types of guys because they think it might damage their team chemistry in respect not just for now but for the future. But in saying that, I've loved watching RJ Hampton and LaMelo Ball play. They are just exciting young guys and they're contributing. So it's a bit of a balancing act, and I guess the club's just got to make the choice which way they want to go.
Love chatting with you, mate. We're out of time. There's plenty more issues, and I'm sure we'll chat over the next couple of weeks when I'm in the chair. Thanks for joining us today, and we look forward to your commentary of part of the NBL action right here on SEN.
No worries. Thanks, Goss.